The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I want to speak to you today from John chapter 6 and verse 66. I thought about announcing it as I came on. I want to speak to you about John, about 666, but not that one. This is John chapter 6 and verse 66. Very simple verse with a very profound truth. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Yeah, the number 666 is the number of a man, so maybe this is the behavior of men, the behavior of the natural man. Because I want to speak to you today about those who abandon Jesus Christ. There are those who were called disciples, John tells us plainly here, and who went back. And not only that, they walked no more with him. Now, I do want to state this clearly from the beginning. I don't want to leave a false impression. I don't want to leave anybody hanging, okay? Yes, we are those who believe in the perseverance of the saints. There are some who call it once saved, always saved. There are some who call it eternal security. I prefer eternal salvation or eternal life, which means a life, a salvation that never ends. A true salvation. There are those, they were called disciples, and that word defined, translated here, is pupils, learners, literally, if you want. This is one of the facts of the scriptures, and you'll find it from the first book of the Bible to the last book of the Bible. There are those who make a beginning, but then go back. Christ warned about them. You'll see it in Cain, who left the presence of God and went off to make his own way. And then you'll see it in the book of Revelation for those crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them to hide them from him who is coming. They know who's coming. They still want to hide. This is the act of man. This is the act of a natural man. The natural man. John did call them disciples here. Like I said, it means a learner, a student, a pupil. That's right. These are the dropouts. They had been following Christ, listening to his teaching, seeing his miracles, being fed. Now they went back. They departed. They left, they vamoosed, they skedaddled. But notice this, they didn't go forward. They went back. They quit following Christ, and Christ Jesus always moves forward. He never goes backward, but men do. They went back. I want you to realize this. from the fact, this fact, that these people, think about this, these people physically heard with their own ears God manifest in the flesh. They heard him preach and teach and proclaim the very words of God, literally from the mouth of God. Then they left. And not only left, they went back. They went back the way they were. They went backwards. You know, they didn't even keep the part that kept them coming in the first place. They turned their back on him completely and left it all behind because they left him. They quit following him. The Lord of glory. As I said, God manifests in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. They heard him with their own ears. And they went back. They walked no more with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's kind of a funny thing when you think about it. People think, people say that we overemphasize the depravity of man. Perhaps we do sometimes, but I don't think you can. I don't think you can bring man far enough down, and I know you cannot lift up Christ high enough. We are incapable of that. How dead is the natural man that the words of the Lord of glory dwelling in the flesh right in front of them, and they would walk away from him. They would go back. Whew. Now, let me throw this in right now, because it's a good time for it. John also writes in 1 John 2 and 19 about people who went out, who went away, who went back. And he said, they went out from us, but, and this is a very big but, they were not of us. For, he'll tell you why, for if they had been of us, they would, no doubt, have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest. Now, it doesn't say that they were made not of us. No, it's just being made manifest, made known. It's being shown that they were not all of us. I do believe all believers are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last times. I do believe in the perseverance of the saints, but I also know that Christ told us that if you're my disciples, indeed, you will continue. You will continue. You will continue. These men were still dead. And how dead is the natural man? How dead? This, you know, this is some of that overemphasizing I'm fixing to do right now. Man is so dead, he cannot understand the scriptures. Man is so dead, he will not follow the Lord's Christ, even though the Lord's Christ is standing right in front of him. He's so dead that he will not come to Christ. He's so dead that he cannot come to Christ. He's so dead that when he does hear the truth of God from the mouth of Jesus Christ, he walks away, he goes back, he follows no more after Christ, the one who has the words of eternal life. I don't want you to be discouraged when men will not hear or follow Christ when they will not hear the gospel and they will not follow Christ. They left Christ in droves. They did. John's full of it. Some of the other gospels are too. It tells of those that wanted to kill him, that tried to stone him. They took him up upon a hill and were going to cast him off of it. And he walked out of their midst. By the hundreds and by the thousands, they leave. You look at a lot of these churches around here, and a lot of the big churches, especially in the bigger cities and the bigger towns, they have what they call, I think they call it, rollover. The people who are there now aren't the same people that were there 6 months ago. Some of them are. Some of them are. But the greatest majority of them, they stay 6 months, maybe a year, and they're gone. And they're replaced by others. And they have this continual thing where they have to keep getting in more people because people leave. They cease being entertained or whatever. Because they'll leave Christ, but they'll follow if their belly's fed, if their desires are supplied. These here followed Christ. They did follow Christ until they heard this one specific truth from the Lord's mouth personally. And when they heard this, they left. Now, in this scripture where it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back, the word time there is in italics in your Bible, and the reason it is because it's interpolated in. It wasn't actually in the original. I've looked in the Greek, and you can sit there and compare the words. That word time is not there. It's not. There's nothing wrong with it. From this time, many went backwards. That's true. But what John actually wrote was this. From that, many of his disciples went backwards. From this, if you like the word this, many of his disciples went away backward. From this, What is this? What was it? Well, let me start with the negative. I've got a little list here. They didn't go back because of the miracles. They didn't go back because they were fed. They didn't go back because of his personality. They didn't go back because of his looks, his standing in the community. Or even because of his Nazarene accent. But they did go back. And the way it reads, I like the Young's little translation here. It says, from this, many of his disciples went away backward and were no more walking with him. From this, many of his disciples went backwards, went away backwards. The ASV puts it, upon this, many of his disciples went back. The English Standard Version says, after this, many of his disciples went back. The International Standard Version says, as a result of this, many of his disciples went back. There's no doubt they went. They went back. They went away backwards. But I want to know from what? Don't you? Don't you want to know from what? I heard a preacher preach a message on this. On this exact verse, John 6, verse 66, over 30 years ago. And he did okay. My memory's a little spotty at times, but as I recall, he spoke of those who go back. And that we shouldn't go back. We should go forward. Don't ever stop walking with Christ. Don't ever stop following with Christ. That is all good stuff. But after all this, and he preached for 40, 45 minutes, that preacher never mentioned once, not once, what it was that made his disciples here, his students, his pupils, his learners. He never mentioned once what made them go away backwards. What is this from this, from that? Not even a mention of it at all. The this or that spoken of in John 6:66 is not complicated, and it's not hard to find, because it's the words of Jesus Christ. It is a certain particular statement that men over 2,000 years ago hated, and they still hate. As a matter of fact, they've hated it since Cain hated it in the Garden of Eden and before. Now, is that enough of a build-up? What is it that can drive men who were pupils of Christ backwards away from Christ? Well, it's simple, very simple. It's the truth of God as spoken by the Son of God in the prior verse, John 6 and verse 65. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father." That's all it took. Christ saying these words, because these words were the last straw for these pupils. They left their teacher, their preacher, and unknown to them, they walked no more with God manifest in the flesh because of these words. "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." What does that mean? Well, that means no man can come unto Christ unless it's given to him to come to Christ of the Father. What? And I'm saying, no man can come. And you look at that word if you want to. No man is able to come. No man, no natural man is able to come except unless it's given to him by the Father to come. No man can come to me, unto me, of himself. No man can come unto me of his own will. He cannot. We're not talking about will not. That's another subject. We can do that later if we want to. And I might. But right now, what we're talking about is ability. That's the word. No man can. He cannot come. Why? Because, according to the word, he is not able to come. No man can come unto me by himself. This is what Christ was teaching here. This is what his pupils did not want to learn, would not have, and they left because of this word. It takes an act of the Father, and specifically here in this verse, it takes a gift. A gift. It's not something you earn. It's not something you can grasp. It's not something you can get. It takes a gift. It has to be given unto him. It must be given unto him of the Father. This coming happens. Verse 44 of John chapter 6. Back it up. This is a variation, slight variation on what Christ had said. No man can come unto me, John 6 verse 44, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. Now this coming happens here because of the Father, and I'm going to say the word, dragging him. That's what the word draw means. It means to draw, and implied in that word is a resistance. It's like dragging a bucket out of a well full of water, and you have to crank the crank or pull the rope up, and there's resistance, there's weight there, and it takes the work of the one drawing to get the bucket up. In other words, it takes the work of the Father to get one to come to Christ. And only the work of the Father can do this. The Father overcomes the resistance by his mighty power. And by his mighty power, we believe. That's in Ephesians 1. We believe according to the working of his mighty power. What's that mean? It means no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. It means that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Don't bring that up, which is, oh, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And they think that means all men everywhere, the whole world. God is drawing everyone to Christ. No, Christ said, these that the Father draws, I will raise him up on the last day. These that the Father draws, I will save. I will raise him up at the last day. Now, if you would go forward to John 6:63, which is just a couple of verses back from John 6:66, and it says, Christ's words again, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay, what's this verse mean? Well, it's the Spirit that quickens. It's the Spirit that makes alive. Okay? And this is not my spirit. This is not your spirit. This is not any man's spirit. This is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. See, we're in John 6, okay? And what I want to say here, I know it may sound simple. It may sound, you know, redundant or whatever. But in John 6, okay, we're in John chapter 6. You can't forget John 1, John 3, John 5, and what has gone earlier on in John 6. Now, you can't also forget 2 and 4, but this is, I got specific things I want to say here. From John 1, you'll see those who were born of God. Those were the ones that were given power to become the sons of God. Those that were born not of blood, not of flesh, not of the will of man. They were born of God. I got 4 minutes here. John 3, ye must be born from above in order to see the kingdom of God. You must be born of the water and the Spirit in order to what? Enter the kingdom of God. John chapter 5, for as the Father raises the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. John 6 and verse 29. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he, the Father, hath sent. It takes the work of God for any man to believe Christ Jesus, the Son. This is not something new. This is not something that Christ just sprung out and said, well, no man can come. This is what he has been building to all through his ministry. And they left him in droves because of what he said and what he taught. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. There's no profit in the flesh. Our flesh is not getting better and better every day. We are to mortify our members, and hopefully we get better at it. But we are, you know, it's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Our outward man perishes. Yet, The inward man is renewed day by day. The spirit that quickens the flesh profiteth nothing. We do have an outward man and an inward man if we believe God. In my mind, I serve the law of God, but in my flesh, the law of sin. There is this dichotomy in the believer. The natural man does not know this dichotomy. All he has is the outward man. All he has is the flesh, and the flesh profiteth nothing. This is the message of Jesus Christ. Except, unless God gives it to you, God draws you, drags you, you cannot come to Christ. These are the words of Christ. No man can come unto me except or unless the Father draws him, or it's given unto him of the Father. Now, does this offend you to be told of your own inability? Does this offend you? Are you mad? Will ye also go away? Lots of people have. Lots of people have. The broad way is full of these people. Many go that way. They're religious, but they never find the straight gate and the narrow way. Few there be that find it. Few there be that follow him. Few there be that continue. No matter what Jesus Christ says, I know he's the one that has the words of eternal life. The question is, do you? Or will ye also go away?
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.